All right. Hello and welcome to the beginning of Millennial 2017. There are some time zone confusions, and that's why this is starting an hour late. But I am here with Sargon Afakad. Welcome, Sargon.
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. I just want to apologize for the confusion. I wasn't at my phone, one of the rare times I'm not on my phone. So I missed all of the messages saying, God, where are you? Millennial is waiting for you. Otherwise, I would have responded.
Right, okay. A note to anyone else who's the subsequent guest on Millennial, check the web page that I linked you all to, because that has the correct times in your own time zone, so there won't be any confusion. Okay, so Sargon, what kind of year do you think 2017 has been?
It's been a pretty impressive one, actually, hasn't it?
It's certainly been a roller coaster. It's been one thing after another, really.
Yeah, it's been very entertaining to watch things happen. Honestly, I don't even know where to begin. How are you finding Donald Trump at the moment?
Ah, God. I think he's not as forceful as I was expecting him to be, as I thought he would be. I think he's cucked on a lot of issues. But again, it's American politics, and I always feel nervous about commenting on American politics. I think this recent Israel thing was an inevitability, really, unfortunately.
Are you a supporter of Israel or not? Sorry, just to interrupt there.
I am, to be honest. It's one of those things I don't really care about, because I wish it were just a solution and they could just go there and be happy and that would be the end of the matter. But of course, it's just riven with historical difficulties for the Palestinians, because of course they've got a claim to it as well. So it's just a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. But I thought you might support a homeland for the Jews.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think most people on the alt-right do, in fact.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed. So it's one of the consistencies that I've noticed from the alt-right.
Well, yeah, we are ethno-nationalists, so it makes sense. It is just another example of how things could be simpler. But in the case of Israel, as I say, it's not simple at all.
Well. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So, with Donald Trump, I suspect that if he wins a second term, he'll be more confident. But honestly, I thought that a guy like him, I thought that he would just sort of go for it. I thought he had all the confidence, any human being could ever need. I am surprised that he's...
Yeah, sorry. I think it's the scale of the forces arrayed against him.
What?
That is the problem. The media machine is completely opposed to him. Even the Republican media is kind of tepid. I was expecting a much more full-throated defense of Trump from the right wing, but there are plenty of people on the right wing. I love listening to Ben Shapiro talk about Trump. It's the funniest thing in the world, because the left has always done something utterly unreasonable, but you can tell that Ben Shapiro has got just an innate distaste for the kind of man Trump is. So I feel that I can get some honest commentary from Shapiro.
Well, I won't pretend to be the biggest fan of Ben Shapiro.
Especially his religiosity, but I don't think that he has a bias in favor of Trump that's going to start making him view Trump with rose-tinted glasses.
Yes, yeah, that's certainly true. On the thing about the media, you can't understate this. In one sense, the mainstream media is dying. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it continues to have massive, massive power.
Oh, yeah.
That's largely a legacy. It used to be, we know that the average age of the average age of the Fox viewer is something like 62.
Yeah.
It's the or same 68, goal. Might be. One of them's 62. And then CNN is 60, is similar as well.
Yeah.
And so that has to mean that they're dying. Mm-hmm. And so... I don't know, but they retain this power anyway, and I don't really know why that is. It could just be sort of exhaust fumes,
Oh, it's kind of...
These things remain household names. They remain...
Yeah. Institutional inertia.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the term. So they have massive power. I mean, I remember when Charlottesville happened. It was just, I mean, they were apoplectic about what was going on. There were these violent right wing maniacs just looking for violence. And then when the car thing happened, it was just like a gift from God for them, because that's the evidence.
Just to jump in on the car thing, as I understand it, I thought Heather Hayes or Hare or whatever her name was, I thought she died of a heart attack.
Yes. It looks like what happened is that she was shocked by seeing the car crash happening and had a heart attack. I know. It's horrible, but it does seem a very dramatic reaction to a car crash.
It's more that the alt-right are being blamed for someone having a heart attack. Someone in tremendously bad physical condition has heart attack, and suddenly the alt-right has murdered someone. This is something I'm surprised the alt-right doesn't make a deal out of, to be honest. You know, I would have thought that. Yeah.
Well, exactly. We try to, in America do. I mean, they're trying to, but of course, then you get accused of politicizing a tragedy.
Well, they
and of course, every side accuses the other. Yeah, I mean, everyone does this. You know, it's a sort of natural thing to do. And you accuse the other. Oh, you're politicizing a tragedy. But in this case, they really didn't do anything wrong. What happened with Charlottesville, as far as I can see, is that they trusted the city authorities in a very left-wing city to do right by them. And they were completely fucked. I mean, the reports are coming out now, the investigations, and it was just a clusterfuck by the authorities, who I think deliberately engineered it. Violence happened.
Well, I think
either that or it was just incredible incompetence.
I think it's probably inevitable that violence was going to happen. But I find it very interesting how it's the everyone, all of the lefties, all of the far left activists, just say that Charlottesville is an alt-right murder. And it's like, yeah, but it actually isn't. You know, I mean, obviously, no, I don't want to defend the alt-right. But
no, but it's definitely not an alt-right murder. And it's definitely not alt-right terrorism or something. That's just ridiculous. And I also don't think that violence was inevitable. I think that the violence was, I mean, there have been other alt-right or whatever right-wing rallies, including with Antifa, and there is minimal to no or no violence. What happened at Charlottesville was quite artificial, I think. I think the police, following orders from above, deliberately manufactured that situation so that there would be violence. I think they pushed the alt-right or the Unite the Right protesters into the Antifa hordes. And then, I mean, what's going to happen?
Well,
you know, if they'd been kept separate, as the alt-right people were asking them to do, I should stop saying alt-right because it was Unite the Right. It was a coalition of many different groups. They were asking the police, push us there because that you're pushing us right into our enemies, into our opponents. Mm. And the police just did it. And this is a funny thing. You know, on the one hand, right-wing people want to believe in the police. And this is something I sort of highlighted in the several of my videos about it. They were chanting Blue Lives Matter and all that. Believe in the police because they want to believe in order and that society is sane and their society is reasonable and just and all this. Mm-hmm. But then the police fuck you over if they are ordered to do so.
That's true.
And that's scary.
The average policeman doesn't really have much of a choice in what they do when they're given an order.
Indeed, so, because you know the Antifa and Unite the Right are not paying their wages. Mm-hmm. So you have to do what your superiors tell you to do, and they have to do what City Hall tells them to do. So it just goes on and on.
It does indeed. So do you think that Charlottesville was a good thing or a bad thing for the alt-right?
I think it was a very bad thing because I think it allowed the mainstream media to tarnish the alt-right unfairly and inaccurately as a violent, terroristic movement, which it isn't. And I think that take time for the alt-right to rehabilitate. And it will have to do that consciously and deliberately, because clearly the mainstream media are completely, I mean, determined to destroy the movement and besmirch it and all that.
You know what? I don't agree. I don't agree with you. I don't think they are determined to destroy you.
Why not? Because they need a bogeyman.
Yeah, they promote you at every turn. They can't not talk about you. They love you. They love that you exist. It's like saying the Catholic Church is trying to destroy Satan. It's not true. The Catholic Church needs Satan.
In another way, I understand what you're saying, but in the same sense, the mainstream media in Britain can't stop talking about Brexit, but they don't want Brexit to be destroyed or whatever. They need it as a thing that, and so that they can be apoplectic about it.
I think the alt-right... Brexit's different.
Well, it's a...
Brexit's an inevitability, or at least it theoretically is on paper. So, and it's the pressing issue of our generation. And so they have no choice but to talk about it. But the alt-right, the mainstream media could just have a policy of non-engagement, and that would be more successful for kettling the alt-right than it would be promoting them. But I mean, Richard Spencer is only a household name because of the media. Otherwise, I mean, is Richard Spencer controlled opposition? I'm genuinely curious.
I certainly don't think that he is. I've seen no indication of that at all. I'm not just saying that because we're in touch. I've seen no evidence of that. I think that he comes from high society, and you know, he has hobnobbed with, I think, was it Laura Bush or whatever, but I don't think, I think he's a sort of classic example of someone from the elite instead turning a renegade. I mean, that's he's certainly not the first.
Right, okay. I
don't think he's controlled opposition.
Right, okay. Because I mean, he doesn't seem to be doing you guys any good. That's the thing. I'm watching the alt-right's progress, and it's weak, frankly. But what are the skeptics doing? But the question isn't about the skeptics. The question is about the alt-right. And I really think the alt-right has kind of, I don't want to say become cucked, but I can't think of a better way of putting it. I'm not seeing...
Cucked?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have totally lost your edge.
I don't think that's the case.
Oh, you definitely have.
Well, what do you mean by edge? Well, I don't think that's the case at all.
There's no edge anymore. Like,
what do you mean by edge? I don't think the intention was ever to be skitty. That was what the media painted us as.
No, I think it was. I mean, like the meme jihads and all that, I think they were great. And I think that they had real effect on the election. I genuinely think they do. They did. But since then, the alt-right has seemed lost.
That I can certainly agree with. I think the election was a unifying force. And but that's, I mean, you could say, you know, any movement needs something to rally around.
Yeah.
And I think that we do need new direction.
Yeah, I agree. And the alt-right seems
like
to...
you could say the skeptics have lost it ever since the bedroom SJW thing fell apart.
No, I don't think so. The Kilroy event's fully funded. It's been heavily attacked by the SJWs. I'm doing live shows. The skeptics are doing more than you think. It's just they don't make a big song and dance about it. But the alt-right, Charlottesville was the big deal, and it didn't help, like you say. I mean, the only thing that I've seen that has benefited the alt-right is the it's okay to be white thing, but that doesn't just benefit the alt-right. That's just an attack on the SJWs to kind of expose them to normies, which is good, and that needs to happen. And in fact, I'm annoyed at how little follow-up to that there has been. It really bothers me. It's like, you guys, 4chan guys, you could be like, if you need ideas, I've got lots of ideas, is what I'm saying. I could easily concoct a scheme to get you guys international coverage and to bring the problem of communists in universities to the forefront easily.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing this weekly.
What do you mean?
Okay. Okay. How about this? So, say tomorrow, Monday morning, on I don't know, like 20 university campuses in America. Outside of the, you know, the sort of George Cicarillo Mar types, the, we, you know, I'm dreaming for a white genocide, all those types.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Imagine on their doors to their offices was a picture of Joe McCarthy.
Right.
Hundreds of them. Imagine just hundreds of professors, all open communists on social media. On their doors was a picture of Joe McCarthy. You know that picture where he's at the Senate hearing, whatever it was, and he's looking grumpy as fuck. That would send them into fits of apoplexy. They would be like, oh, the new McCarthyism's back. And then you could just hashtag McCarthy did nothing wrong on social media. Get that trending. Holy shit, dude.
Well, McCarthy did do nothing wrong. And he was correct about all of the Hollywood writers. They were trying to spread communism in their films. But, I mean, they admitted to it later.
Yeah, and then there was the FBI releasing, was it the Vimana papers or something? Where literally, like, there were loads of communist infiltrators from the Soviet, you know, in the pay of the Soviet Union in the US government. McCarthy was actually correct.
Yes, I know. This is the funny thing. I mean, his name is now associated with mindless fear-mongering and witch-hunting when he was actually correct all along.
Yeah, it's incredible. But this is my point. Yeah. You guys could actually be bringing out the communists, because the only people who are really going to complain about this are going to be the communists or the communist sympathizers. And the people who are making a vocal noise about this on social media will out themselves. It will become an international newsworthy scandal, and it will be hilarious to watch them trying to defend communists, because then that gives us liberals a great opportunity to go, no, actually, let's point out just how cancerous communism is. Mm. You know, we can make a lot of hay with that.
Do you think that Antifa actually are communists in the old-fashioned sense of the word? The economics. Right,
Okay, so, all right, so the anarcho-communists who make up the bulk of Antifa are people who want a stateless, classless society, borderless society, and they want to get rid of money. They want to completely, essentially, they think they can turn back the clock to when man was a sort of a pre-Rousseauian primitive before anyone had put down stakes in private property. But they think they can do this by maintaining and still maintain the sort of quality of life that the Western world gives them. They're wrong, obviously.
Of course. I mean, how would you pay for Starbucks if you didn't have money?
Well, you wouldn't. You would just go in and get one for free. But the question is, why the fuck would anyone work at Starbucks?
Yeah, of course. You know, well, this is the nonsense of it all.
Exactly. It's nonsense. They don't understand that humans need incentives. And if you take away all of these incentives, no one's going to spend 5 hours of their day working in a factory. It's just not going to happen.
So do you think that it would be viable to attack the anti-fan? Well, first of all, do you think that SJWs are communists?
Yes. Once you really understand...
Do you think that SJWs are really indistinguishable ideologically from Antifa?
Yes. All anarcho-communists are also SJWs. It's what they focus on. And it's because of the way their principles work, right? When you understand them, like... When you understand them to the extent I understand them, because I've been doing this for a long time now, you realize that intersectionality is essentially sort of revolutionary communism applied to various different spheres of life. So gender politics, sexuality politics, race politics. But it all follows the same principles. The majority group is oppressing the minority group, and we need to take any action necessary to abolish these hierarchies of power. Because that's what it's all about, all of it. And ironically, the way to do that, they have to co-opt the hierarchies and then start instilling their own kind of social justice rules. You know, so, for example, university professors who are like, well, I always call on black women first, and then if I have to, white men. It's like, oh, okay, there you go.
Right, yeah.
You know, but it's no different. Do you think it's not a coincidence that every SJW is also a socialist?
Oh, of course.
You know,
it's a collection of attitudes that are centered around equality and this obsession, this absolute obsession with equality.
Yeah, and really, really what they mean is equity. You know, they want an equal outcome. You know, they want everyone to be the same. And they want everyone to be equally weak, poor, and destitute, frankly.
Well, but, I mean, that's the reason they want equal outcomes is they can't understand why different groups would perform differently if they had the same,
they can't,
the same chance.
They can't understand why different individuals perform differently. You know, they literally don't think there's any difference. They think every single person on Earth is just an interchangeable cog in a machine. And obviously, everyone else knows different. I mean, you know, and this isn't an ideological thing.
Yes, indeed.
Just a human nature thing.
Of course. Yes, of course. But I would also say that different human groups are not cogs that can be interchanged, you know.
I'm sure that's... Yeah.
I mean, that's something specific.
Support that as well. But the point is, the SJWs, they view everything through this lens, which is why they all end up aligning on things, on economic policy, it's socialism or communism. On gender dynamics, it's feminism. On race dynamics, it's Black Lives Matter, whatever you want to call, the sort of their opinion on race. It's all the same. And this makes them eminently predictable. And it also means you can win any argument with an SJW by using their own tactics. Like, I was at Berkeley, and I was trying to talk to this black woman about the problems in the black community. And she kept deflecting, but I was pushing through these deflections, and she started getting emotional. And some white knight, and he worked at the Independent as well, of all places, starts jumping in and trying to defend her, and I just told him to stop white-splaining, and he stopped. And it was just like, holy fuck, dude, you just got completely cucked by social justice, and you know I oppose social justice. Why did you let me use this against you? But he did, and he shut his fucking mouth. And that's the point. Because social justice, really, if you understand it well enough, it's a tool set you can use to attack them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can never live up to their own ideals.
Right, okay. I mean, this is a thing about, make them... This is Alinsky.
It is.
Their own rule book.
Absolutely. This is literally everyone in a social movement should read Alinsky. Everyone. Anyone who wants to understand how any of this is going to work needs to read Alinsky. Because, like, Alinsky just documented these things. But what he's documenting are, like, underlying inherent principles of power that are immutable. These are always present whenever there is a power exchange. So you have to know it. You know, you can sit there and whine about Alinsky being a communist all you want, but it doesn't change the fact that he's right. So, you really need to think about, like, your own ideological investment and your ability to comprehend other people's ideological investments, you know?
Yes. Well,
Go on.
No, you go. It's okay.
Okay, so let's talk about the thought gate that you guys have recently been having. I was watching your video and you were like, this is an attack from outside the alt-right, which I'm sure is true. You know, the Nazbols or whatever other delusional lunatics. I love the idea of national communism. How could that be?
I'm not sure that even they take it seriously. I think it's all ironic. It's obsessive irony.
Yeah, I don't think they do. But the point is, why did it work?
So?
Why did it work?
I think it worked because there are lots of... I think it worked because there is tension in the alt-right and lack of direction.
Yes.
That's exactly.
The reason it worked is because there are ideological fault lines within the alt-right. Because some people in the alt-right... And I don't just mean like different groups under the umbrella. What I mean is there are people in the alt-right who all agree on the same principles but don't follow these principles correctly. And they make excuses. They say, well, I mean, like in your video, you were saying, well, we live in the real world. And it's like, okay, but that doesn't win an argument against whether it's right or not to do something. That just wins the argument of whether you can do it right that moment. But eventually...
No, but this is a question of, do you want 100% conformity and ideological... conformity. I don't think that that's a reasonable demand.
I think it's unreasonable too. But the people who think it's reasonable will use it as a power play, which is what all the fucking basement-dwelling incels were doing with Tara McCarthy. And I've got to say, I genuinely like Tara McCarthy. I find her adorable, you know. And so I don't like that she's being attacked. But this is the thing. This gives these guys a method of attack to her. Because, okay, she agrees traditionalism's a good thing. They agree traditionalism's a good thing. She agrees the white race is being genocided. They agree the white race is being genocided. So what's Tara McCarthy's argument for not settling down with the nearest white man and start pumping out white baby after white baby?
Well, she is doing... Well, I can't talk about private lives, but she is.
Yeah, but first thing you said is that's what she's doing. Exactly. You all agree that's the right thing for her to do. So she can't turn around and say, well, I don't want to do that, because then she's deliberately going against her own principles.
Yeah, but she's not saying that she doesn't want to do that.
No, the fact that she hasn't done it already, you know, all of this social pressure that the alt-right's putting on her, it's permissible. It's okay. You know? It's right.
Right.
I'm looking at the alt-right logic, right? The internal logic, the axioms you guys work from. And using your own fundamental sort of principles, you all agree that that's the right thing to do. It's like, I was watching a video where you were reading about Andrew Anglin's response to all of this, where he was saying, what was it? There should be, basically, women need to sit down and shut up. Yeah? They shouldn't be.
I think what he was... Yes, well, none of these women are leaders or are trying to be leaders of the movement. So again, that seems to me like
unfounded. Anyone who is a public figure and has a significant following draws power to themselves. And as soon as they draw power to themselves, everyone's in competition. So this is why the incels are going after Tara McCarthy. Because she is not representing the movement as they would like to see it.
Mm. Well, as I said in the video, the solution to that is for you to create your own podcasts and your own channels and do it yourself.
Totally agree.
So, you know, I've already presented a solution to this.
I totally agree. But do you think the incels are going to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. Of course, most of them won't. No, of course not. Yeah. Because that's... obviously, averages and so on, most people are not going to do that.
Yeah. They will do that. They are doing that, which is why Tara looks like she's about to start generating alt-right plus, doesn't it?
Well, possibly. Who knows? I think that any movement will develop. And I think it's true. I will say this. I think it's true that there is a... 2 years ago, as I said in the video, 2 or 3 years ago, the alt-right was more contemplative, more varied in its thinking. Now it has become much more ideological. Now there are good reasons for that to have happened, not just inevitable natural reasons, but good reasons, which is mainly that we all think in the alt-right, well, most of us think in the alt-right, that we're heading for serious trouble in the West, in America and in Europe.
Yeah.
And so young men are detecting that, and this includes what you call incels. They detect that there is serious trouble coming, and they want ideology as a protective mechanism to deal with that.
Sure.
So I understand their fear and not desperation. I understand their exasperation, because we are trying to pull ourselves out of a degenerate age, degenerate way of thinking, and prepare for in the West.
Right.
So, this is serious stuff. It's not just mind games or idea games. This is real. And, you know, I don't know what to say, because maybe I'm not the kind of person who should be involved in that. So
I think it's an important moderating voice.
Possibly. The question is it right to do that? Because, you know, I look at like Islam, it seems to be getting more radical. What are we doing? You know, there is a serious issue there. We can't, it's not the 90s anymore. And I've said that many times, but it has many implications. So I understand the social pressure that these guys are putting on women to have kids, because we need examples. Yeah. Oh yeah, I could be like that. So it's
But that's why
understandable. What I was saying, Yes, I know. And what I was saying in the video is we have to accept people's frailties. And she is an asset to the movement, so leave her alone, basically.
Okay. I agree. I agree that she probably is an asset to the alt-right. The thing is, I don't think you guys are ever going to get anything changed.
Well, what do you mean by that? Because, first of all, politics. Maybe okay, we will. I mean, I know that there are people who...
Let me explain.
...are following the alt-right, and they want to get into politics in the future. Sure. But on the other hand, I don't think there's... I don't even think there's time for that. I think we're going to be in serious trouble in the West within about 10 years.
I think that's too soon. There will be serious troubles, but I don't think it'll be the alt-right's concerns that are coming to the fore in 10 years' time. I think it'll be other things. I think it'll be economic collapses and things like that. I think it'll be national boundaries being redrawn, things like this. I don't think it's going to be ethno-states.
No, not in 10 years. But I think the turbulence that will lead to ethno-states will begin, I think, in about 10 years from now.
And I think that's too soon. I think that's way too soon. Think in your lifetime you're ever going to see an ethno-state.
Well, no, I you might be right about that, but I'm not saying that the ethno-states will be here in 10 years or even in my lifetime. I'm saying that mm-hmm. I think Europe, as we know it today, is. I think these are the last years of peace.
Oh, I agree.
That we're going through just now.
The EU thinking it can become a world power to challenge the US is fucking terrifying to me. Absolutely fucking scary.
Oh, yes. I mean, the EU is a fossil. And it began in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, it was a different world.
It has never really... Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, America still has the idea of America. And that's a more... The EU has the idea of Europe. And nobody... Yes, Europe is a thing. It exists. It's a concept and a place. But it's not tangible in the way that America is. So I think for the EU to stand for Europe... it just doesn't work. And also, they don't stand for Europe anyway because they're flooding Europe with third world refugees.
Well, it's so a fundamental value.
I don't think they even believe in Europe. They're a globalist social democracy cabal.
Yeah, but the thing with the EU is it was founded to prevent something from happening, whereas the US was founded to make something happen. They're completely different ethos goes into each one. The spirit of the thing. And the EU is going to lose to the US as well. There is just no fucking way the EU is ever going to defeat the US in a war. It's bad times ahead. But with regards to the goals of the alt-right, I think that the alt-right, the question, right, and this is something that came up in your video as well, which I found very interesting. Is it the alt-right that people are committed to, or is it the goals of the alt-right that people are committed to?
I think it's the goals. Okay, all right, hold on about that. There are people who in the alt-right is a subculture and it's enjoyable and it's something for them to do, something to plug into. Yes, but then there are other people who are not actually that into the memes or whatever and simply want to live with other white people and they want their race to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, again, the alt-right is extremely difficult to characterize in that way.
Sure, but like as you're talking to people and as you're, you know, you've got good connections, you probably are viewed by a large percentage of the alt-right. The question really is it the construct that is the alt-right that they're committed to, or is it the actual results, the end state that the alt-right is aiming for? Is that what they're committed to instead?
So I think most people it's the latter.
Right. Because that means if the alt-right goes away, then they will still have that goal. They will still be pursuing that goal, regardless of whether the alt-right exists or not. Right?
Yes. The alt-right is a vehicle.
Right. That's a great way of putting it. And so would people in the alt-right be open to the idea of switching cars if to get to the same destination?
I don't know. It would depend on the terms.
Why? The car will get you to the destination you're heading to. What difference does it make?
I don't know what you mean. You'd have to.
Well, like you just said, the alt right is a vehicle to eventually, in your estimation, and and this is something I've seen broadly in the alt right. I mean, everyone has the same goal of a white ethno state. Ultimately, that's it can take on whether it's a socialist one or a capitalist one or whatever, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the goal of the white ethno-state and mm-hmm. how are you going to get there? Because I think that the vehicle that is the alt-right at the moment is a dilapidated, sputtering old thing that can't make the journey. I don't think it can get you to that place.
Well, I mean, what I would say to that is that things have peaks and troughs, and the alt-right just now, I think it does need to rejuvenate. I think it does need to find new direction and probably a new form, new tactics.
But that is a commitment to the alt-right as a construct and not the goals.
I mean, it's just a comment. I mean, I'm saying that regardless of, leave the goals aside, if we're talking about the alt-right and whether it can survive, I think it can.
I'm not suggesting that the desire for the ethno-state is going to go away, but the construct that is the alt-right, at some point, there becomes a point where it's not useful, right? This is with anything, with any kind of social movement, there becomes a point where it's served its time and the goals haven't been met. And so you have to think of another way to try and reach your goals. And I think the alt-right is rapidly approaching that point. I think when it finally becomes, for want of a better word, feminized, I think Andrew Anglin is going to be right. I think he's going to be correct when he says that the alt-right will eventually essentially become cucked. It won't be capable of shocking people. It won't be capable of really drawing people in. It'll become soft and weak and no one will care.
Well, hold on a second. What I would say about that is we don't need to shock people. It's true that that definitely works with some people, but I would rather that we were heading into a direction where we were just simply stating things quite calmly and in a civilized manner. Because I think I want to appeal to the middle class and the comfortable, because I think they can help us to get things done, particularly in
the middle class
endless
picking up the alt-right en masse. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, is that because of the alt-right as it is just now, or the goals of the alt-right?
I think it's the goals. I think the alt-right is not playing on these people in the right way. I think that you guys need to find a different approach to achieve your goals.
Well, perhaps. What would you suggest? Do you have some kind of idea?
I do. I have the perfect idea. But before I explain it, I think it's worth pointing out that in many ways, we do have similar objectives, at least on the road, right? So we have the same enemies. I mean, you guys hate the SJWs. I hate the SJWs. There's no question of that, right? I mean, no one's going to suggest I'm a secret SJW sympathizer, are they? It would be kind of ludicrous to suggest something like that. So it's anything I do, I want to see the complete destruction of social justice. The reason I want to see that is because I'm one of the targets of the social justice warriors. I mean, I'm a straight white male. I didn't even have a gay phase. So I'm like ultra, ultra oppressive.
Very nice, Sargon. Well done.
Hey, put the fucking It Ends Tonight picture in your video. I don't even know what that's about. But the point is, I'm like the straightest and whitest. Well, I'm not the whitest, but I'm a straight white male.
Not quite.
As far as SJW is concerned, I'm public enemy number one. I come from a piss poor family, and yet they expect me to give up money and wealth and privilege that I don't even fucking have. And so I am on the chopping block for SJWs. If the alt-right took the place of the SJWs, I would have a lot less to fear. It would not be for me I would be concerned. It would be for the other people who I care about that I would be concerned. So ultimately, even then, I would still oppose the alt-right, obviously. But even in that case, it's still better than the social justice warriors. And at the end of the day, I don't think the alt-right are actively trying to destroy their host nations, which is the difference. The social justice warriors want the destruction of our countries. I mean, did you not see it? You must have seen it at the protests where they're chanting, no Trump, no wall, no USA at all.
Yes.
They want the end of our countries. They want the end of the white race. And as a member of the white race, I mean, did you see the, your white DNA is an abomination?
Yes.
Imagine, I mean, that was in a fucking student newspaper in a Texas university, a Texas university. You know, of all the places, if it was a California university, I'd be like, well, that's exactly what I expect. But man, these people are making fucking inroads everywhere, right? So they have to be stopped, in my opinion. I have very few methods of actively stopping them because I'm just a guy on YouTube. The thing is, the alt-right can gain everything they want using social justice.
Right.
And I mean that literally. You can gain your ethnostate. You can gain your white Sharia. You can gain literally every one of the alt-right's goals using social justice. So the question is the alt-right committed to their goal, or are they committed to the alt-right? Because if they're committed to their goal, I can help you either, and this is the gambit, either you guys win and you get everything you want, or we end up destroying the SJWs from within, and both of our, at least one problem on, like, I mean, and honestly, I think that the SJWs are one of the things that are the prime movers in things like mass immigration. I mean, they're totally in support of it. They make it look like there is a public desire for mass immigration. They make it look like there's a public desire for the segregation of men and women and things like this, you know? So either way, it's a win for both the alt-rights and the skeptic liberal types if the SJWs go away. And I think the alt-rights are the people who can make that happen, but you have to be smart about it.
Okay, so what is there some sort of method that you're getting to?
Yeah. You guys are going to have to learn social justice.
What does that mean? What does that entail?
It means, literally, like learning another language. It means you have to learn to speak the language of social justice. But the thing is, and I know this, that there are going to be people who are just screeching autistically at their screens at the moment, but seriously, hear me out, right? Do you want the races to be segregated? Yes or no?
I want the races to survive. I want the races to survive. And I want, and yes, sure, fundamentally, that means ethnostates.
Yeah. So segregation.
Yeah. Ethnostates. Yes.
Yeah. But that's segregation, isn't it? You have to segregate people to have ethnostates.
Yes.
Right. Social justice is already producing this.
This right. Well, you're talking about like the black student dormitories, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. And do you know why these things are popping up? Do you know why they're happening?
SJWs think that white people are very powerful, so black people need their safe space.
So do the alt-right. You think white people are very powerful?
Well, they need to be rehabilitated, but the potential is absolutely there, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you certainly think that they are superior in intellect to brown people.
Well, the average IQ is 100, whereas the average IQ for brown people is like
82, I know your rationale, that's the thing. I know what you think, because I study you, and I study the SJWs, and I'm very interested in all of these things. And so, really, I mean, what is it that the alt-right actually disagrees with the SJWs on?
yeah, I can tell you that. The SJWs think that we are illegitimate as a race, that white people shouldn't exist.
Yeah, but you'll never get them to admit that they want to kill white people. Even most, when they say white genocide, what they mean is the social construct of whiteness. That's what they mean. They
don't. I mean, what's the social construct? Yeah, but it amounts to the same thing. I mean, if you're going to preach race mixing in order to destroy whiteness, then, or the social construct of whiteness, then you're also, by the by, destroying whiteness as a genetic thing.
Sure. But what you need to do is, just like the alt-right, there are different strains of social justice warriors. But only one strain has the winning argument. And the winning argument is that white people always oppress black people.
Well, yes. The alt-right response to that would be that black people can have their own... black people could move if they wanted to. Trouble is, they never do.
Absolutely. I mean, like, what would the alt-right be willing to sacrifice to get black people out of white countries?
Well, I mean, that's... At this stage, the alt-right is an idea space, and it has been, and it's not... It does not have ideas that are that precise. It does not have policies like that.
I know, but one day you're going to need them, so you've got to think about it. And let's be honest, if, say, California was put on the table, if, you know, in 10, 15 years' time, we were actually talking about alt-right politicians thinking, right, okay, we need to segregate the races in America.
A great way with California would be for it to secede from the United States. Absolutely. And then all the Hispanics could go there. I mean, that would be a massive... but the tension solved.
Exactly. The point is, you'd be willing to sacrifice California from the United States. Yeah?
Absolutely. I've been there.
Yeah. And do you not think... Yeah, me too. But do you not think there are really good social justice arguments for that? I mean, do you not see... This is the reason that there's a Calexit movement because of Donald Trump. Social justice will give you everything you want if you play by their rules.
Well, I don't know. You're going to have to be more precise. I don't know what you mean by that. So, social justice.
Okay, the internal logic of social justice, right, is that there is really nothing that white people can ultimately do to stop oppressing black people, no matter how much they give. And this is why you have black separatist movements who have existed for decades in the US, who are all over the place and who want reparations. Well, here you go. Here's California. Here's your reparations. Black people move to California. You'll be given however much money from the government. Here's a house. Here you go. You're a sovereign nation. And you know what? We'll even pay you. We'll give you some money. You know, we'll give you the divorce bill from the EU. Here's like $50 billion. Go nuts. But now that's it.
If only.
Well, that's the point, right? That's the point. All I'm saying there is... Social justice logic has given you something you would say, well, if only to. You can use social justice to
it
get
could work
your
for
white
us.
Ethnostate.
Well, this is what I was saying, I don't know, a year, 2 years ago. The thing that the SJWs and the alt-right have in common is that they understand the value of groups, of human groups. Where they differ, I mean, basically in every other sense, we differ from SJWs. They believe in equality, we believe in hierarchy. And they believe that the white race is fundamentally evil and corrupt, whereas we just don't.
It doesn't matter what they believe, it doesn't matter. What matters, I mean, like, for example, you would have no ideological objections to saying that white people oppress black people. I mean, I saw it in your comment section, right? Someone, let me get it up, because this person thought they were being so fucking clever, and I was just thinking, well, duh. Let me just get this comment quickly, because it was perfect. It was so fucking perfect. Here we go, right. Sargon, I hope Millennial Woes asks you, are you aware that in a totally liberal, free society, free of affirmative action, etc., that given racial IQ differences, you will end up with a society of especially blacks and also Arabs in Europe and Hispanics in the US forming the underclasses? This is the alt-right logic replicating SJW logic. You can make that argument to an SJW and say, this is why we need to give them reparations. And you can say they will always need reparations because white people will always oppress black people. So what we need to do is give them California or whatever it is you want to give them, whatever sovereign territory. It's all the same, basically. All the alt-right really needs to do is think about how they approach things. That's it. And the way I see if this was something the alt-right did, then there are two outcomes that I think are most likely. The first one, really, and I think the most likely outcome, is that the SJWs eventually realize that essentially what's going to happen is the alt-right will radicalize the SJWs. You will drag them to the most literal interpretation of their principles. The laissez-faire ones who are just like, well, you know, socialism sounds good in theory, you know, those sort of fucknuts, they'll end up being sloughed off of the SJWs. The SJWs will lose all of their power, and therefore the white genocide will stop. You won't have got rid of black people, but they'll stop. You'll find yourselves with many more nationalists. You know, you'll find yourselves with many more people who accept that the social justice warriors are actually fucking lunatics who are going to destroy their liberal societies, and they will oppose them. That's good. That's a win for both of us. And that's the outcome that I personally want. The alternative is that the social justice warriors don't go into a death spiral of persecuting one another, searching desperately for the people who previously used to be alt-righters and things like this, right? And in that case, you win. In that case, you get your ethno-state. It's not what I want, but at the end of the day, I actually don't care about the race of the people I live around. I care that the people I live around are not oppressing me personally and my family and my friends and the people I love. And, I mean, maybe the alt-right would. Maybe it'll be a new frontier for me to fight. But at least the alt-right isn't going to try and destroy my nation.
Well, that's certainly true. But there is, Sargon, there is a third outcome to this, which is that, and, you know, I watched the Academic Agent stream where you talked about this and you said that you were going to suggest this to me. And you said that it would also destroy the alt-right.
Well, yeah, but this is why I asked you whether you're committed to the alt-right or the goals of the alt-right. Because the construction that is the alt-right in its current form will disappear, or at least it'll become a rump sort of construction. Like, the people in it effectively will join the social justice warriors as infiltrators. But you'll have to become like them. You'll have to learn the language and speak it exclusively.
But what you said in the Academic Agent stream is that when the alt-right does that and becomes the SJWs, then the public at large have no time for this. This would destroy the alt-right and the goals.
Well, it may well, it absolutely might destroy the alt-right. But also, it's going to destroy the SJWs. And the SJWs are the ones who are dragging Western civilization into the gutter. So,
yeah, but the real thing that you're doing here is you're trying to suggest a course of action to get the alt-right to destroy the SJWs on your behalf and also destroy itself.
Yeah, that would be my ideal outcome. But that's not certainty. That's by far a fucking certainty. You know, this is why it's such a gambit, right? It might well be that the alt-right absorbs the SJWs, radicalizes them to the most fundamental principles, which are white people are always bad to black people, therefore, and then they win. Then you win. Then you don't need an alt-right because all of the end state goals of the alt-right end up coming into existence. So the alt-right wins.
Well, it sounds to me like what you're hoping is that basically all of this will go away. Both sides will radicalize and fight each other.
Yeah.
Thus disgrace themselves in the eyes of the public.
No. The alt-right won't be fighting the SJWs. The alt-right will be cooperating fully with the SJWs by radicalizing them to their most radical point. Because
the trouble with that is that the SJWs will not do what you're suggesting because they despise white people. They will not want ethnostates for white people. And also, secretly...
No, it won't be an ethnostate for white people.
Hold on. Okay. I know, but hold on. Secretly, SJWs believe, I think correctly, that black people cannot handle their own ethnostate. Ever.
They don't think
so. I think they do because they want endless subsidies for black people.
Yeah, but that's because they're trapped in the white supremacy.
Well, I don't think either way that they would stand for having white ethnostates because they are
the only conclusion of their ideology. It's the only
conclusion. No, because they're obsessed. The reason they don't like white people is they're obsessed with this idea of power and that white people have the power and power is illegitimate. Therefore, whites shouldn't exist. And the only way they'll really ever stop this is if whites cease to exist. And they do admit that. I mean, they do talk about ending the white race.
Listen, right? The social justice warriors will never mention Iceland to you.
Yes. Lots of people don't like to talk about Iceland. That's true.
Because Iceland is, what, 100% white?
More. It does have refugees. Oh, and from, you know, like from the third world. And they
are a race mix. But the point is, I mean, even if it has refugees, what percentage of Iceland is refugees?
I don't know, it's tiny, 1%.
Yeah, exactly, right. But the SJWs never talk about Iceland because they don't actually care about white people. What they care about is the effect white people have on brown people. If white people can be corralled, then they will be for an ethnostate that's for white people.
Well, there is no power play going on in Iceland because there are no brown or, well, tiny, tiny numbers of brown and black people there.
Exactly.
But wherever it comes into... Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm not saying SJWs want to nuke every white place so that they're... what they want, what they're locked into is this idea that whites are inherently evil and unfair to colored people wherever they find them and wherever they coexist. And therefore, and the only reason that will, and of course, they would extend that to Iceland. They would then say, well, what about these people up in Iceland that we forgot about? They're white as well. Holy shit. We'll have to sow the seeds of their destruction too.
No.
So that, I don't that, think no, that no, SJWs, no, that's, as you...
That's wrong. Right. The only reason they care about white people is because
here's
of their effect
here's
on
what
people.
They would do. Here's what they would do. Here's what they would do. They'd say, okay, we've got rid of all the ethnic tension in America and Europe and all this, but then look at these white people up there, and they've got their incredibly peaceful, prosperous, successful, happy ethno state. It's a fucking white ethno state. And then they would say, well, that's unjust because look at these Africans who can't even invent the wheel. I mean, these Icelandic people are oppressing the Africans by existing.
No, they won't.
It's an offence even in the concept.
No, that's not what will happen. By the point where they agree...
It will happen because demonstrably it does happen. But there was no ethnic tension between... let's say Germans and Somalians until the SJWs insisted on putting Somalians into fucking Germany. They create this tension and they do so because they are directed to do so by people who want the destruction of the white race.
I don't think that's true. I think that's an oversimplification, like an alt-right talking point, right? So
no, because the literature is there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that there are people who say that, but that isn't why this has happened, right? Merkel has done this. She has done this because she felt a moral conviction to help refugees. Eventually, and the thing is, what you're saying is would be true.
I don't think that's true. If you wanted to help refugees,
right?
If you wanted to help refugees, you'd help them in their own countries or the nearest place to their own countries. You wouldn't bring them into Europe. That's insane and suicidal. She is insane and suicidal.
No, that's what you would do as an ethno-nationalist. Merkel isn't an ethno-nationalist. So she will quite happily bear the burden of that on the German state. That's just your perspective compared to hers, right? But no, listen, what you're saying is true in the current environment of mixed race countries, right? But when you have a general consensus that segregation is the only solution for white people to cease oppressing brown people, then you will not get the SJWs. In fact, the SJWs, you will find them arguing against immigration. It will become immoral to let a brown person enter a white supremacy because we know how awful white supremacy is. And this is why we created brown ethnostates.
So, well, the thing is, though, that then you're condemning them to live in their own countries, which everyone knows are shit. So, you know, that argument doesn't work either. I know it's not my problem, but it is the SJW's problem and their solution.
Are you suggesting, really, that you wouldn't pay like an annual tithe to keep brown people in a different country to you?
Yes, of course I would, but the SJW wouldn't.
Yes, they would. They're for reparations,
I think,
man.
So.
They are literally reparations.
Yes, in our own countries, because the thing they really want, because they're programmed to want it, is the destruction of the white race.
No, they want, like I said, they want the destruction of the social construction of whiteness. I know it sounds...
But that's just jargon.
It's
what really is going on?
Listen, it's not just jargon, okay? I know that this is why I'm saying you guys need to learn social justice, because when you really understand this stuff, you realize that, holy fuck, you guys want the same thing.
I don't think so at all. I'm sorry. I just don't agree. If you showed an average SJW a photo of a nice white family and said, what do you think of this? What do you see here? They wouldn't say, I see the social construct of whiteness and all this. They would say, oh, dear. Oh, that's white.
But that's because the average SJW doesn't understand social justice either.
Yes, and they don't need to understand it to be affected by it and to act it out.
Of course. This is why the alt-right can easily steal the movement that is social justice for their own purposes. Easily. It would, honestly, it's actually kind of embarrassing how easy this could be. If you had like 10,000 committed alt-righters who were going to be like the shock troops going into SJW territory, and you easily get in using their own shibboleths, and suddenly you can promote all of the things you want using their logic, and they can't even refute you.
Out of curiosity, why don't you get, I mean, this is a genuine question. Why don't you get the skeptics to do this?
Because we don't want what the SJWs want. Because there's a good chance that the alt-right SJW position might win. We might end up with ethnostates. And that's not what we want.
I think we will. I think we will, one way or the other. Because it's just happening. It's just happening. And because the only
why not
alternative
accelerate the process? Why not take control of the process?
Well, I agree with you. That is a good way. That is a good idea. I think we should, because it's clear to me that the establishment politicians have absolutely no idea. Either they have absolutely no idea what they're doing, or they do know exactly what they're doing, which is that's terrifying.
They don't know shit. These people don't understand anything. And the best part about social justice is it already has them whipped. They already agree to everything the SJWs say. So if the alt-right would suddenly learn the SJW lexicon, move into their spaces and start moving up their hierarchies using their language, the politicians have already cucked to you.
So if I were to say, like, let's say the alt-right were to launch some kind of campaign to help black people in Africa.
No, don't worry about black people in Africa. Don't worry about black people in Africa. Worry about black people in America. That's okay. That's where the alt-right should focus, in Canada. Especially.
Okay, let's go for that. Let's go for that example. If the alt-right were to launch a campaign to set up a black ethnostate in America for, you know, black African Americans, black Americans, mm-hmm. and they could go there and just be nice and happy and black.
Yeah.
What do you think the SJWs would say to that?
They think it was great. All it is about how you couch it. This is reparations that the white man is paying because of his horrible history.
But this what would then happen when that ethnostate became a violent, when that black ethnostate in America became a violent, impoverished place? What do you think the SJWs would do then?
Well, they'd say nothing about it at all. They would lie. Lie to the people and say no.
Well, maybe like the communist thing, yeah. It's possible, but Hold on. The reason they lied about the Soviet Union was that was tactically useful to make white people think, oh, communism works. They would not lie about this because it doesn't serve their end. Their ultimate interest is not for black people to live separately. It's not for black people to survive. It's for white people to be damaged. Right.
Hang on. Right, okay. So they would lie. They absolutely would lie. Because if they don't lie, then they're admitting that social justice doesn't work. And they can't admit that. So they have to lie. This is why Black Lives Matter have got absolutely no interest in the black lives that get killed by other black people. You can see any of the times where they're forced to address it, they go, well, no one ever talks about white lives matter, white on white crime and all this sort of stuff. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about Detroit. They don't want to talk about, Chicago or any of these other hot spots where there are gangs of people murdering each other and like literally every fucking day. They don't want to talk about it. And they will pump out all sorts of bullshit propaganda exactly as they do now about these black communities and how they're actually fantastic and it's the white man lying, it's white supremacy, blah, 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 blah. They'll lie and they'll make excuses. They won't care. And at the end of the day, you'll just have to keep giving them reparations. You'll just have to pay them some money every year.
Fine. Yeah, but there's a reason for that. The reason they lie about this stuff here and now is that they need to maintain the lie of racial equality. They need to pretend that black people are not more prone to criminal violence, they're not less intelligent, and so on. So the SJW needs to pretend. They need to pump out this as much propaganda as possible to make white people think that the races are equal. Because that then means that white people will feel guilty whenever there is a problem, whenever there is a poor black neighborhood or whatever. So in this, if there is this black ethnostate, the SJWs will absolutely love it when it fails, because then they can blame that on Whitey and say not only that Whitey should pump loads of money into that ethnostate for the rest of time, but also that really the ethnostate is an aberration and just a terrible thing, and we should let the blacks move back into whites into the white area. So, thus you've got the situation again, the same situation again.
They will never be able to argue that black people should be introduced to a white supremacy. They'll never, when it, by the time,
but they do that all the time. They do that every single day right now. Why aren't black people in universities?
No, listen, that's because we are already in mixed race countries. Once we are out,
but whenever there's a non-mixed race town, the SJWs want to make it mixed race.
Yeah, but that's their own personal power mongering. You have to understand, like, it won't be the same SJWs by the time it's an ethnostate.
That's true.
The people now won't think the same as they do, because you guys will have changed them. You will have brought them to the point of their most radical principles, and that will change everything. You know, they won't be able to make these arguments, because literally any alt-writer could stand up and go, I think it's deeply immoral to suggest that brown people should be introduced into a white state. We all know that white people throughout their whole history have managed to oppress brown people, wherever they've been. There's no greater, more awful force than whiteness. These people need to be kept protected.
So what's the ultimate solution to that for the SJW? It is to mix, at the genetic level, white people with black people, so that they can no longer oppress them.
It's
an abomination.
You know something really interesting, right? Light-skinned black people are oppressive to dark-skinned black people.
Well, yes, it's all a gradient.
In their minds, yeah. And so it's only the sort of, it's the ones that aren't really following the principles. Because, I mean, like, there are loads of black separatist groups who screech black genocide because of the SJWs and their miscegenation. They are convinced that this is an attempt to wipe out the black race.
Mm. Well, to be honest, it is.
So you don't disagree with them?
I agree with that. The prognosis there is that if SJW is promoting race mixing, the black race eventually isn't going to exist. Of course, it would take a huge length of time for that to happen, because there are...
Sure.
I don't know what the population of Africa is. It's like a billion or something. But
Don't worry about Africa. Let's just focus on America.
But that's the thing. We're going to have to worry about Africa, because they're going to bring them all up here.
All the white people will have to leave Africa.
Yeah, but that's not going to solve the problem for the SJW, which is that white people still will exist. And they'll have these fucking nice, happy countries in Europe. So it's not going to work. They're going to campaign for as many black people to come up here. It is, because they are programmed to hate the white race.
It's not, right? Otherwise, you'd never be able to have a white ally. You'd never be able to have a white SJW who is actually, like, someone who can promote social justice.
Right? Well, yes, but from their point of view, the white ally is going to have mixed race kids.
No, there is an out for the SJWs who are white. It's the social... This is why I keep bringing this up, right? The social construct of whiteness is the problem. Don't get me wrong, right? There are lots of idiots who don't really understand social justice ideology.
I think you're right about that. I think, right. Yes, absolutely. I think they don't really understand it. Now, as for the concept... But a crucial thing here is this concept of whiteness, which really when you come down to it, means fuck all. At some point in the indoctrination of an SJW, hold on, at some point in the indoctrination of an SJW, it starts off with the social construct of whiteness. But at some point, it must transform into white people. It clearly does, because then they come out of university, and it's the very existence of white people that they find offensive. And I think that a switch occurs. The language, the jargon of whiteness, is just a delivery mechanism to make them ultimately hate themselves and hate the white race. Because the thing that's going on here is that there are forces at play that want the destruction of the white race, because everything they do ultimately leads to that.
That's not really correct. So on Evergreen College, you know where Brett Weinstein was accosted by the SJWs? There was a woman, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's Dr. something or other, and she's a white lady who's an SJW. And she gave this hour-long presentation. I'm going to, at some point, just splice up a video between her and Richard Spencer talking about whiteness. They both have exactly the same opinion. They want to create a white identity. They want to infuse this white identity with, sort of, in the same way that black people talk about their blackness. I mean, like, I was looking at D-Ray McKesson's Twitter feed the other day. He's like, I love my blackness and yours as well. Thanks, D-Ray. I'm not that black, but I appreciate that you approve.
You know? You can be a quarter grateful.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm a quarter as grateful as I could be. But this is the point. It's like, it's not, blackness isn't actually black people, which is why you have Uncle Toms. Whiteness isn't actually white people, which is why you have white SJWs. Right, it's just that you get more of it's just you get people who don't understand social justice as an ideology, who are unable to make the distinction.
I think that the reason you have white SJWs, I mean, the SJW is fundamentally a white thing. It's not, I don't think it's devised by white people. I think it's devised by globalists, let's put it that way. But it is fundamentally a white thing. Globalists, shall we? Yes, I think we should. And I mean, if you look at the academics who are shaping this, yes, they are. So this is the white SJW is just a transmogrification of the white do-gooder who has existed for forever, and they're demented. But that's because I always see them like Daleks, because they've been turned against their own people. It's the white person in the village who's constantly thinking about what everyone else is doing. And so that gets turned against to the extent that they are advocating for their own people's destruction, because, well, anything would be better than injustice and unfairness.
Yeah, I agree that they've been abused. I agree that these people are...
Yes.
Okay. And honestly, this is another reason why the alt-right should consider it a moral obligation to control social justice. Because they are doing this to white people, and it is hurting white people. You guys can't just sit there and sit on the fringes forever and go, well, I know ultimately we want the same things as the SJWs, and it's honestly, I'm telling you, it's not the destruction of the white race that they want. What they want is the alleviation of oppression of non-white people.
And I think that's what they think they want. No, I think, again, there are different levels to this. That's probably what they would tell themselves. But then at an emotion, a deeper level, emotional level, something has been injected into them, which is... A real hatred of the white race. And, you know, they talk in these terms, but that's just, I think that's just a cover. I think fundamentally...
It's not, right? It's... Okay, how to explain it, right? Okay, so...
If you were a highly intelligent... Okay, go on.
Let me finish, come on, right? So, think of Noel Ignatieff, right? Where he says treason to whiteness,
lovely guy,
loyalty to humanity, right?
Yes, and then there's the other quote where he talks about making it impossible for this legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself. But what does that actually mean?
Yes, I tell you what that means. That means the end of Western liberal democracies. That means the introduction of either a state that is entirely mixed race, or a state where it's entirely non-white. Essentially, I guess, way to put it. The best way for that to be achieved is through segregation, which is why it keeps happening. The SJWs keep segregating people. They love it.
Yeah,
they
just can I just read another quote from Noel Ignatieff? The key to solving the social problems of our age is to abolish the white race.
Yes. But in his mind, right, if you listen to the rest of his interviews, the white race is a social construct. No, listen, I know you find that funny, but that's only because you don't understand social justice.
No, it's because I understand Noel Ignatieff.
No, it's because you don't understand social justice. I promise, right? And I'm not trying to be.
I think you don't understand Noel Ignatieff.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the right thing.
Yes,
yeah, that's no difference to a Black Lives Matter saying, yeah, but I understand a white person. It's like, yeah, you don't.
No. Look, I think you don't want to acknowledge how deep this goes, how dark this is. There is a cadre of elite. I'll have to say it, Ashkenazi Jewish academics in the West, and they have genocidal ideas towards the white race. And it comes out in their quotes. It comes out in their programs, their ideas. And I wish it were not so, but they're there.
You're wrong.
And it's just,
You're wrong. Listen, right?
Why am I
wrong? You need to learn about social constructivism.
Why am I wrong?
Sorry? Right, you need to learn about social
constructivism. I didn't say anything.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. You need to learn about social constructivism, right? They think that whiteness and the white race is something that was constructed in America. They think that this has been invented.
Then, yeah, but why do they hate it? But then why do they talk about Europe so much?
Because Europe has white people too. Europe has Nazis. That's where the Nazis came from.
Right. Yeah, indeed.
That would seem to work against your point. Yeah, I know. It's a very difficult distinction. But the point is, they believe...
Look, these people want our destruction.
No.
And I don't know exactly why. Maybe they see us as a rival. I don't know. No, but they know that this is about genetics in the end. Mm-hmm. And they want our genetics mixed with blacks. And they do everything that they can to make that happen. And that's why they desperately want to intervene at every stage, at every instance, in the interactions between whites and blacks, and whites and every other race.
These people want to intervene to ensure...
Because I'll tell you what...
Hang on.
Yes, because it's the truth.
Listen, that's a more compelling argument for what I'm saying than you realize, right? Okay, let's assume that there are... I mean, I don't like sitting there presuming someone's motives if I don't really know them, but let's assume... Like, I don't know much about Noel Ignatieff, but let's assume he is operating in a Machiavellian bad faith way, right? That makes it more imperative that you do something now regarding them. Because ultimately... He wants the destruction of the white race because he doesn't see the white race being separated from brown races. He doesn't think that can happen, right? And so what you need to do is miscegenate the white race out of existence. But you think, you know, if you adopt social justice and move into these spaces, it'll be far easier to get them simply separate. It'll be way easier. And it'll be way less invasive as well. And that way, Noel will have absolutely no argument, because his argument is that whiteness is oppressive to brown people, but if things are being kept rigidly segregated, then it can't be. So his argument is done. You win.
If his agenda is to wipe out white people, then you have
a moral imperative to do this sooner rather than later.
I would point out that Israel just deported apparently 40,000 African refugees. And I'd ask him, is that to protect the social construct of Jewishness, or to protect the Jewish people themselves from, you know, that's what I would like to say to Noel Ignatieff. And I think that he would understand exactly what I was saying, because this is what he's doing. This is why he would always campaign against black refugees being deported from Europe or America, because he knows ultimately the result of their presence here will be that white people get race mixed out of existence.
Well, sure. Okay, let's assume that Noel Ignatieff does believe that. That doesn't mean that he's not the voice of God for social justice. especially
more like the voice of Satan for social justice.
Okay, and he's not the voice of Satan either. He's the people that you would be. You basically need to take control of the movement to stop him from doing this, and stop people like.
Well,
him.
You know, I've often thought this myself. You know, if white people could negotiate directly with black people without these rabble risers getting in the way, mm-hmm. I think things could be a lot simpler and a lot happier and a lot more amicable. There needs to be a direct negotiation with, and also with Muslims as well.
I mean, imagine if like you got sat down with these black community leaders and said, right, okay, we're going to give you this territory. It will be your sovereign territory. We will not have any involvement in your government, and we will pay you however much money a year for you to, you know, as reparations. And I mean, I can see them agreeing to that.
I could as well. But again, it would have to be done on the not on social justice terms, but on ethno-nationalist terms, which is, you know, basically we are protecting you. No, it's sanity talking, because if otherwise it will, I don't think it will work. I don't think it will happen. If the black nationalists or whatever, black people, if they want black people to be a thing in the future, then they can have that. But in return, we want white people to be a thing in the future. And so we need to have that.
Yeah, they'll agree to that.
And the whole SJW thing, they would be at the sidelines screeching that, oh no, that means that white people are going to exist in the future and they'll be oppressing and they'll be oppressive just for existing.
No, that's not true.
Because after all,
they won't be able to oppress brown people if there are no brown people around, right? So the SJWs, you in this hypothetical, you should be leading the social justice warriors, right? You will be saying, so you should be saying social justice rhetoric, and this will persuade them that you're on their side. That's how you'll get them to agree to it. But anyway, that's just I'm just saying the sorry,
it's all right, don't worry, it's okay. We've been talking for an hour and a half, actually. I didn't realize it's been so long.
No, I didn't realize. But what I'm saying, though, is everything that the alt-right wants is within the grasp of the alt-right. There are structures in place that the alt-right can manipulate to their own advantage, and there are arguments with people who will be opposed to them that the alt-right can win every single time. All they have to do is understand social justice. That's it.
Yeah, exploit it to our own end. But I think it's important that we don't do that in such a way as to alienate the general public, who, after all, are the ones we want on our side. The SJWs are just a loud fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're not, though.
Maniacal.
Not. You've got diversity in everything.
I know.
They're not.
I know,
just
it's terrible.
Fringe. Yeah, it's terrifying, isn't it? But like, they're not just a loud fringe. They're not. This is what people have to say. Oh, SJWs, they're not a big problem. No, they're a fucking massive problem. I mean, holy fuck, the reason that thousands of young girls were getting raped is not because, like, the police didn't want to do something or couldn't do something. It was because they were afraid of social justice warriors, calling them racist. They were afraid of the social consequences of that, right? And do you know what the funniest thing about this is, right? Is the alt-right, they wouldn't be able to call you racists. They would call you anti-racists.
Well, yes, I suppose so, yeah. Could you elaborate on what you mean there? I'm not quite sure I follow.
Yeah. The only people who are against racism are the people who are for social justice. They're the only people. I mean, imagine you saying, you can literally say, look, I think we should make California a home for non-white people who have been persecuted and oppressed by the white people for all of their history, ever since the inception of white people. You can literally say this will be the most diverse state in the world. Ha. And by social justice.
Well,
logic,
I think what they would say to that is no. We want America to be the most diverse, and Europe, of course. I mean, you know, they're constantly carping on about how wonderfully diverse Britain is.
I'm happy to wall off Germany and let that be the non-white ethno state of Europe. I don't care. Germany can go hang. But no, I'm just teasing. But no, seriously.
I know, but it is serious though, because we are looking at the end of the German people, you know, within a few decades, and the same with the French and the Swedes and everyone else. You know,
the point is that diversity. I mean, literally, they will put a, like the other day, I was a thing on, I can't remember what website it was, but just one of the major ones, and it's a photo shoot of these eight black women, and it's just all these eight black women. They're like, this is the most diverse photo shoot ever. It's like, no, it's not. Yeah. It's monoracial, monogendered. It's the least diverse photo shoot ever. But yes, like the alt-right,
but by
says,
their terms, yeah, exactly. By their terms, it does work because it's not white.
Exactly.
You've got 100% diversity because you've got 0% white people.
Yes, and if you had a sovereign state where white people weren't allowed, that would be the most diverse state.
That it would, but I mean, by this point, we're just using diversity as a keyword for or code word for non-white. So the thing is, even if you had that ethnostate right next to it, you'd have something that's 0% diverse. You'd have a place for white people.
Hashtag build a wall.
Well, you know, if only.
You're white and getting into your diverse state, do you?
Well, that's the thing. You know, this is the amusing thing. You know, the Berlin Wall was to keep people in communism, and Trump's wall will be to keep people out of America. And that's why the SJWs are so against it, because they want these people in America so that white people cease to exist. And any ethnostate that white people set up, they will attack on the same basis.
They want whiteness to cease to exist. That's what they want, right?
You've got to look at these different quotes from Noel Ignatieff, where he uses whiteness and the white race interchangeably. He isn't, but he's one of the architects of it. He's one of the forefathers of it. And you can also look at other quotes.
Not really. I don't think he is. I mean, there. This is the work of many hands. You know, but it's created.
It is. Many hands and many noses.
I shouldn't have laughed at that. That's funny. Though.
No, you shouldn't, Snark.
I know.
Almost as if you recognise a truth there, Sargon.
No, it's just I've been studying the alt-right for quite some time, and it's just funny. You guys talk about the Jews the same way black people talk about white people. And you talk about them for exactly the same reasons. Exactly the same reasons. Because they're smarter than you. It's just funny.
Well, the average IQ is, something like 112, yeah. 115, I believe. But that's why, I don't want to get into that question, because that's...
Like, going back to that chap's comment, he was like, you know that you have an underclass of black people. It's like, well, why do you think you have an overclass of Jews, dummy? Because they're just smarter than you.
Yeah, so if we don't want to be ruled by them, then, they should be in Israel.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is why you guys...
I agree.
Well, obviously you can have an over-representation of Jews. And same with Asians. Why do you think there's like an Asian overclass forming in the United States right now? It's because they're just smarter than white people.
I know, so they're going to take over our countries. They're going to have the best jobs and so on, and the authority, the power, ultimately. They will have earned them, but it'd be a damn shame. Why couldn't they earn them in their own countries? Why do they have to take over our countries? Because ultimately, that's not going to be good for us, is it?
Well, no, but that's what you get for trying to run a meritocracy.
Well, it's what we get for allowing this to happen in the first place. I mean, the only way we're going to survive and the only way we're going to be in control of our own societies is if we have our own societies. Well, I mean, you've just said it yourself, with the Ashkenazi Jews and the East Asians, they're going to outcompete us in our own countries, which means that our own countries no longer work for us, and ultimately it means that we're going to either be some kind of subjugated class, or we're not even going to exist, especially if the SJWs have their way.
Which is why it makes it all the more imperative to suggest that reparations now give black people California.
I think it really makes it all the more imperative for people to understand that what's going on here. I mean, and this is...
You're never going to get the public...
Basically,
I just don't see it happening. I'm not on alt-right terms, but they already agree with...
Maybe not on alt-right terms. maybe not in alt-right terms, but they are going to see the tangible results of this playing out. White people are going to be disenfranchised, ultimately, mm-hmm. Certainly at the highest stations in our societies. And also at the lower, because it's the working class who bear the brunt of this.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be fucked. I mean, yeah. You know, I don't know how to say this. We're going to be fucked at both ends.
I agree, which is why the alt-right need to sit down and think, do they want the alt-right as it exists now to perpetuate itself indefinitely, or do they want to achieve their goals? Because the
Well, of course they want to achieve their goals.
I know, but the structures... Yeah. I just want to wrap it up, because, yeah, I'm going to go get another drink and...
Yeah, sure. It's been a good chat, and I think we've definitely explored an issue very thoroughly. But honestly, I think that
something the alt-right should be discussing with themselves is like
you seem to be agreeing, Sargon, that white people are doomed, and so I don't understand why. No. You're saying yes and no to the premises that I'm putting forward. You've said yourself, East Asians are going to outcompete us. Ashkenazi Jews are going to outcompete us. Black people are going to outnumber us. Hispanics are going to outnumber us. So, what about us? What do you just want us to disappear? Maybe you're an SJW.
Maybe I am an SJW. I don't see an us. For example, I'm not worried about being out. No, listen.
But they all do. They all do, Sargon.
Okay. Okay, but in a meritocratic system, assuming it is a meritocratic system, I don't care what they do. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be held back by someone else's success. But you don't. You're a collectivist. You think that they will. Okay. Wait a minute.
This is about existence and survival and identity. My people, who I grew up with, I love them. They're not going to exist in the future. How am I supposed to just see to not care about that and say, oh well, thank God I'm not a collectivist, otherwise I would care about this? This is the most natural instinct in the world, and all these other groups have it, yet you're saying that you're above it and that we really doesn't matter.
Then you should.
I know, I'm just wondering why you're not on board. I mean, you've laid out all the arguments, that you've said it inadvertently sometimes, you've said that we're fucked, so I don't understand why you don't care that we're fucked.
Because I don't agree with a lot of what I'm saying. If this is what you say.
Yes, you do. You do. You've said it.
Do you want to explain?
East Asians are outcompeting us. Ashkenazi Jews are outcompeting us. Blacks and Hispanics and Muslims are going to outnumber us. So you've said those things, and you've admitted that that's going to be really, really bad for white people, whom you have admitted exist. So don't say that there's not an us, because you've admitted that there is an us. So why... Why? I just don't understand. This should matter to you.
Yeah, but
Germany, Sweden, France, Britain, everywhere, we're fucked. And it's because of your detached attitude.
No. In a liberal democracy, white people are not fucked. However, we are transitioning out of liberal democracies at the moment. Outside a liberal democracy, white people might be fucked.
Well, let's leave it at that. This has been a very interesting discussion, and I think that, who knows, maybe the alt-right could adopt strategies of the SJWs and win. I don't know. I certainly think that we should be putting it to black people and Hispanics and all the rest of it, and Muslims. This could work for you as well. I mean, when you say racism, I'm not interested in racism or hatred or whatever, because that's never been part of it for me. The core thing for me is our survival and our welfare, our well-being. Mm-hmm. And I think that, we should be negotiating directly with them instead of going along with the SJW / mm-hmm. globalist rhetoric of basically giving up everything that we have and everything that we are to benefit them, because that's just, it's parasitic for them and it's suicidal for us.
This is honestly why I think you guys need to co-opt social justice, because they've laid the table for you. They've set up all the institutions. They're even enacting your agenda in many areas, and they are the ones in control of it. So a Noel Ignatiev can do things that you wouldn't want done, but you guys can't respond and do things that he wouldn't want done that would actually benefit you. So this is why, honestly, the alt-right, I know it's going to be a difficult thing to really conceive of and for difficult conversations to have, but from a tactical perspective, you have a path to victory here. It might not work. There might, you know, there might be something unexpected in 5 years' time that I can't see that comes along and means that the alt-right and the SJWs both fail and we go back to being liberal democracies or something like
that. Well, that's what you were hoping for in that academic agency, Gene, that it would lead to our destruction.
Absolutely. I'm not denying
it. Even though you've admitted that, that would then mean the destruction of the white...
But ultimately,
yeah, but then that would result in the destruction of the white race as well. I mean, this is not just a game that you're playing with the alt-right, Sargon. This is, if the alt-right or whatever, white nationalism...
There is a white genocide going on or not? Do you think there is a white genocide going on or not? I know it's not a fucking game. I know you think the end of the white race is coming. So don't tell me, oh, well, it might fail. It might fucking fail, but you've got nothing better. Okay.
Well,
I want you to fail, but you don't want you to fail, and this is a path on which you might succeed.
So if you want us to fail, why are you suggesting this path that might lead to us succeeding when you secretly think
because
that it's going to lead us to fail?
Your success is better for me and my family than the success of the social justice warriors.
That's absolutely true, because your kids are white, and they're going to have to live with this.
Yes. This is why I'm saying, this is why I'm talking to you. It's because I don't agree with the alt-right. I don't want what the alt-right wants, but I want what the SJWs want even less.
I understand that. I understand and I accept that. But if you want your kids to have a good life, then you should want what the alt-right wants.
I don't agree, but it doesn't matter whether I agree with that or not. It doesn't matter.
All right.
What matters is that you guys understand that I'm not... At the worst case scenario for the alt-right success in this endeavor is less intolerable to me and my family than the SJW success. And so from a tactical evaluation, I have to choose this angle. I have to try and explain to the alt-right that they can get what they want and they should take this gambit.
Hmm. Well,
even if it means the end of liberal democracy.
Okay. Well, I think that's been a very interesting discussion. Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
That's all right. I look forward to the next. I assume I'm invited back next year.
Of course, assuming my channel still exists next year and
YouTube hasn't as well yet.
Yeah, assuming YouTube hasn't nuked us all.
Oh God! Who do you think is going to go on the Twitter purge before we wrap up?
Oh God!
I think everyone.
I have no idea. Probably. Probably. I think that we're all going to be on Gab. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it, but I know that I've been on SJW, Antifa lists for a long time, so I would expect so. The thing is, I never put anything outrageous on there anyway. I just use it to post my videos. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I get into ridiculous arguments on people on Twitter with people, but you know, that's a rarity.
Oh, I've got a question for you as well. Do you really have the Antifa giraffe?
Yeah.
Really? How did that happen?
Well, I made a video about him, and then he contacted me on... Well, he tweeted about me on Twitter. See, this is the kind of thing that won't happen after we're all showered from Twitter. He tweeted at me, and he said, I've just watched this guy's video about me. Ha, ha, ha. He's got everything wrong and all this. So I sent him a message, and I said, hope you aren't hurt by the video. Where was I wrong? And he said the stuff about his motivations that I got wrong. So anyway, I thought, well, hold on, maybe you could come on the channel and then maybe millennial. So I just suggested it to him and he agreed.
That's really, there we go. Really interesting.
It's funny. It's hilarious. It's really
honestly, I'm legitimately looking forward to hearing the conversation. I
have no idea how it's going to go.
Oh, neither do I. I mean, holy fuck. I would love to hear you, like, probing him. Sort of like, so would it just be
don't say that with him. Come on, that's not the most appropriate phrase. Right?
Oh, and with your path, I suppose. But
no, with his fetishes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a proper S&M guy as well, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay, so, but what I mean is, ask him, would it just be better if there were no white people around and things like this? You know, don't tell him about like this conversation necessarily, but just see if you can get him to answer the questions.
Well, he's probably He might well be watching this. I don't know. He's proper Antifa. I'll ask him that. I just want to ask him what he thinks about all this.
Oh, well, so he's probably going to give you some radical nonsense about destroying the state and blah, 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 blah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
So it's been good, Sargon. And
a lot of fun.
Okay. I'll speak to you later.
Take care, man. Bye.
Okay. See you later. And thanks, everyone, for listening. The next stream will begin in, very shortly. Bye-bye for now.